Cape Talk. Cape Talk, the US Report with Adrian Brune.
The US Report with Adrian Brune, all the way from Manhattan, New York City. A very good morning to you, Adrian. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Ad. I'm doing well. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. I must tell you, I did watch one or two videos on Instagram. Cat you have there, I forgot his name now. He is quite a rugby player.
Yeah, essentially, the new one. She's pretty good, I'd say. She's getting better and better.
Lovely. Getting down to business. I mean, we also looking at the visuals here now on CNN, talking about the white supremacists rally poorly attended in Washington. What's the latest there?
Right. So after weeks of hype, white supremacists managed to muster just a couple of dozen supporters on Sunday in the nation's capital for the first anniversary of their deadly rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. Now, they were greatly outnumbered by counter-protesters, police officers, and, of course, the news media. Now, as the right-wing agitator Jason Kessler and perhaps 20 fellow members of the far right, some wearing bright red Make America Great Again hats, some draped in American flags, as they marched under heavy police escort to their protected area near the White House, almost no one got the sense that the nation's, even though there weren't that many of them, no one got the sense that the nation's divisions were any closer to healing. Kessler expected 400 followers to join him in Lafayette Park, which is outside the White House, but instead the police came out mostly in force to separate the white sympathizers who were, quote, very scared for their safety, unquote, from black-clad, masked, and helmeted anti-fascist protesters known as Antifa. Now, if you remember, Abs, last year there were thousands who came to Charlottesville, Virginia, and marched during the day, and then there was one woman, Heather Heiler, who was run down by a motorist. Now, I have for you a interview of Kessler on National Public Radio before the rally. This happened on Friday, I believe. He's speaking about the rally.
White supremacist. I'm not even a white nationalist. I consider myself a civil and human rights advocate focusing on the underrepresented Caucasian demographic.
The underrepresented Caucasian demographic. In what ways are white people in America underrepresented?
Well, because they're the only group that is not allowed to organize into political organizations and lobbies and talk explicitly about what interests are important to them as a people. You have blacks who are able to organize with Black Lives Matter or the NAACP. You have Jews who have the ADL. Muslims have CARE.
You say that white people are not allowed to organize around issues that are important to them. I don't really understand what you mean. Are you saying the government blocks people, blocks white people from organizing into groups?
Noel, no. That's the wrong question. That's the wrong follow-up question.
Yeah, Adrian?
And yes.
Yeah, there's also reports, though, of a fact that there's an airport worker who stole an airliner, and he crashed it near Seattle.
Yeah, so this was also a very random thing that happened on Friday. This is Richard Russell to a Seattle air traffic controller on Friday night. He said, quote, "I've got a lot of people that care about me. It's going to disappoint them to hear that I did this," unquote. This is what he said before the 29-year-old employee of Horizon Air crashed a stolen Alaska Airlines plane into a near-deserted island in Puget Sound. Now, Russell's death and the dramatic moments that preceded it, which involved the passenger plane being trailed by F-15 fighter jets against the setting sun. That left those who knew him stunned and saddened. Now, officials were quick to point out that Russell passed the background checks necessary to handle baggage and clean aircraft, which was his job for Horizon Air, which is a subsidiary of Alaska Airlines. They fly mostly in the Northwest. How Russell, who did not hold a pilot's license, learned to fly the twin turboprop Bombardier Q400 that had been parked for the night is yet unclear. During exchanges with air traffic controllers, Russell repeatedly referred to his experience with computerized flight simulator programs, or what he called video games. So it's a very sad ending. He was a husband and a father of a small child. So it's still unclear why all of a sudden he decided to do this. There's no word on that yet, his motive.
Yeah. All right, and let's talk about the knee protest still taking place, apparently.
Yeah, so taking controversial kneeling protests against police brutality into a third season, Miami receivers Kenny Stills and Albert Wilson refused to stand during the national anthem at the Dolphins preseason opener over the weekend. The team forbade such behavior before this season, but only as a placeholder until the NFL firmed up its mercurial anthem policy. Now, after the anthem, the league said that the players won't be punished under its no-kneeling policy while it negotiates the rule with its players' union. I'm coaching football, quote-unquote Dolphins coach Adam Gase said, I'm not dealing with this. So that's how he sort of ended the whole conversation on that so far. We'll see how it unfolds in the coming weeks. Football season is upon us, American football.
Yeah, hey, we wait and see. And I'm really interested when we talk again. I know that you talk about taking a drive along the new United States Civil Rights Trail. I've just unfortunately run out of time. Maybe we can just have a talk about that on Wednesday, Adrian. But nonetheless, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
Sure thing, Abs. Have a great Monday.
All right, lovely. Adrian Brini, all the way from Manhattan, New York City.